and this is Coast Community Radio. It's time for Arts Live and Local. Greetings to all out there in Nova Scotia. Squamish has slipped back to Nova Scotia for now, and Seychelles, and New York. Hope you're all tuned in, and anyone else who chooses to listen to this show from afar, even though you know, as I know, that you're not able to take part in the arts scene here. And to all of you here, thank you so much for being here and for keeping and growing the arts and culture. I'm going to start right out with a piece from one of the many local bands that is already happening. Actually, the Brewfest right here in Astoria is happening at Barbie Maritime Center, which is sort of near 22nd Street and Marine Drive. You can check out the program, PacificNorthwestBrewCup.com. There is music all weekend. And, there's also beer. I forgot. Here is Have a Listen to a band that, you may or may not recognize. I didn't recognize this. This is a new album to me, Giants in the Trees. Thanks for being here, folks. Heavy accordion. That would be our programmer, Chris Novoselic. We have Eric Friend, and oh my goodness, there are lots of people on this. The four regulars are Chris, then Jillian Ray on voice, that beautiful voice. Eric Friend and Ray Prestigard. They've also got a whole bunch of other folks joining in this time, including Andrew Elmlin on cello, and Jennifer Johnson and Kylie K. Prestigard on vocals. You can catch them right here in Astoria at the Brewfest tomorrow evening, 7:30 to 9:30. 30. And the other thing that's happening with the Brewfest is that Troll Radio Review, KMUN's own broadcast that happens the last weekend of every month, will be taking place live. It's going to be a little different because Jack Harris and Brian Bovenizer have engineered, well, they're engineering, but they're also producing the whole show. So I'm sure Debbie Twombly will be listening wherever she may be. And that's at 11, all happening by the Barbie Center. And then they're going to be, broadcasting the various musicians. So you can stay tuned if you're far away. If you're close by, of course, come on by. Because after Troll is the Horsenecks, whom we love. That's local. Hearts of Oak, Matt Hopper, and the Roman Candles, the Desert Kind, and they're playing at Fort George Sunday night as well. And Michael Hurley, our beloved Michael, from Brownsmead. Yes, Brownsmead. And then closing with Giants in the Trees. However, today, they already started at 3 p.m. Oh, they're happening right this second. Sharon Hartley Band, Local Rock and Blues, and Mike Coikendale at 5. And then Freak Mountain Ramblers at 7 this evening. Sunday, noon is Wander Lodge. And 3:30 p.m. is what's left of the Brownsmead Flats. They're going to have a blast because you'll see. They're happening at 3:30 on Sunday. You can come and catch their shenanigans and fabulous music. Well, the music that's coming up with my next guest is a little different, would you say, Diane?
A little bit.
Diane Marshall is here from the Water Music Society, putting on, at this time, the Water Music Festival. It is not this weekend, that's the good news. It's October 11th, 12th, and 13th, but it is a weekend of music. Each concert is an individual event, as opposed to sort of mushing the whole thing together, right?
That's correct. And we stress that every concert is different from another concert.
They all are
varied. And then within each concert, we like the music to be varied for the enjoyment of the audience.
And I have attended a number of the Water Music Festival productions, and they have all been terrific. That's for full disclosure. So Diane, are you the chair of the Water Music Festival?
Yes, I have been for several years.
Several?
And I book the artists, find the artists and book them. And I must say, we bring world-class music to the Long Beach Peninsula for the enjoyment of people here on the peninsula, and they come from far and wide.
Yeah. And I think it started with, was it classical to begin with?
Yes, and this being our 35th anniversary this year.
God.
35th. We thought we'd honor past board members by inviting as many of them as we could find to the entire festival, and particularly to the Sunday concert, where we will pay tribute to them, because that is more on the order of chamber music that day. It's fairly exciting chamber music, though. And they started it in 1985 with a board of 10 to bring chamber music, basically, but classical music, to an underserved area of the state of Washington and of the Northwest.
Which it was then.
Mm-hmm. And they are some that I have talked to that are original board members are just thrilled that we are keeping it going, and that it's solvent, and that we continue to bring world-class music of all kinds.
And you are doing something else apropos of the 35th anniversary. I got a kick out of this. What time are your concerts starting?
735,
235,
and 235.
435, 235, 135. It's always on the 35, and that's delightful. So that's celebrating the 35th anniversary.
It helps those who wander in just a couple minutes late.
Right, that too, for sure. Yeah. So tell us what you've got this year, starting with Friday That's October 11th.
At the Eagle's Nest in Owaco, we have the best in jazz, and it's traditional jazz, focusing on mostly on very familiar tunes from the Great American Songbook.
Mm-hmm.
We have guest vocalist from Seattle, Greta Matassa, who is one of the best. She can scat like Ella. And then the instrumental ensemble is headed up by George Mitchell on keyboard. He is Diana Ross's touring pianist. I've seen him in pictures and sets with Elton John, and he's just fabulous. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, that is Friday, and that is actually the only evening concert. So that's 6:35.
Yes. Socials. At 6:35
is social.
Mm-hmm.
And the goodies are good. I should tell you, if you're able to go, go in time to catch the opening act, which is refreshments. And then the concert, would that be an hour later then? Is that 7:35, the concert, or thereabouts?
7:35. And there will be an intermission with more goodies and wine and other beverages.
And where is the Eagle's Nest?
It's in Owaco. It's about two blocks or so west of the stoplight in Owaco.
Mm-hmm. Not a very big place. You won't have any problem finding the Eagle's Nest. I mean, Owaco is not a very big place.
Owaco is not a very big place. The venue itself is very intimate. You're up close and personal to the musicians.
Which is lovely.
But it's lovely.
Yeah, sounds great. The George Mitchell Quintet and Greta Matassa. So that's your jazz focus.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday the 12th, you have
Mac Gurgich.
I was going to say, it's Serbo-Croatian.
He was born in Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Yes, there you go. As soon as I saw that name, it's spelled G-R-G-I-C.
Uh-huh.
Only it's not an American.
You put a C-H on the end of it.
Yeah, kind of like Chris Novoselic, Croatian. So that's at the Oysterville Church, one of my favorite places.
People love coming there. It's so intimate. And he's a classical guitarist, but he plays all genres, like show tunes. I mean,
really?
Movie themes is what I meant to say. And classical and he has quite a repertoire. And he's a young rising star that's considered one of the best in the world at his age.
Where is he from?
So... Well, he's from Slovenia originally.
No, but I mean, where does he live now? Is he...
Back east.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not easily accessible, so this is a real treat, too. That's Saturday the 12th at... Now, again, that starts at 2:35.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real time for the concert.
That's the real time. And we'll have little goodie bags to give everybody this year.
Sweet. Okay, and then Sunday, when you're honoring the... former board members, that's Sunday the 13th of October, the Black Oak Ensemble. Tell us about them. You've told us a little bit.
They are an exciting trio. Violin, she's a Grammy nominee, cello, and viola. And the violin and cellist are a married couple that were here last year as part of a quartet called Fandango.
Oh, my God. They were wonderful.
Yeah. And they also are part of the Black Oak Ensemble. So all of those people that came and heard Fandango and loved them last year will love coming to this concert. And Saturday's guitarist has the same agent as Black Oak Ensemble, so Mac Gurgich is going to sit in for a few numbers with them on Sunday.
Nice. Yeah. And one of the things I've noticed about your concerts is, in addition to being fantastic musicians, they're also wonderful performers. They all develop rapport with the audiences. Perhaps that's because these are more intimate concerts.
Well, I just try to find artists that I know, either from before or from talking with them or their agents, that they relate well to audiences, and they capture the imagination, not only the auditory imagination of the audience, but the visual and the kinesthetic, and it makes for a wonderful concert.
It does, and it feels like a big family with a great treat. So,
and they will all have CDs, all three concerts. They will have CDs, and I think people will love getting their hands on one of them.
Yes, and hopefully we're going to be able to get our hands here at KMUN on some CDs, and we'll play them for you because we do have a couple of weeks still before this is the Water Music Festival. Now, what is the website for folks if they want to be able to look at this whole layout and figure out how to get tickets?
WaterMusicSociety.com.
Okay.
They can buy tickets online. I would suggest doing that because there might be a few at the door, but, you know, the venues are not huge, so it's better to get them in advance.
Yeah, And so WaterMusicSociety.com, and this is the Water Music Festival part, which was the original part, but now it has grown. That's with Jazz and Oysters and Music in the Gardens. And
our Christmas concert.
And the Christmas concert.
So four different events.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I bet the old board members are very impressed with that, too, that you've not only kept it going but grown it. So
two of the original board members are... One lives here in Astoria, Pat Thomas, who's the wife of Noel Thomas, who painted our famous harpsichord in the ocean painting, where the musicians were actually in the ocean with a harpsichord and they got drenched. And so she was the original board president. And
Pat Thomas, who's also a poet as well. I did not remember that. So
yes,
that's exciting.
And the second president was Ann Kishner, who with her husband Tony,
of course,
has the Bridgewater Bistro.
Right. So two definite locals who used to live on the peninsula and now live here, or at least Pat and Pat Stanton Thomas, and I'm not sure where Kirshner's live. Do
they live right up the hill from us in Milwaukee?
Oh, so they're still on the peninsula, they moved their business here. So.
And the Noel Thomas famous painting,
yes.
We will have a drawing for a print that I got from him and had framed.
Nice.
By the Marie Paul Gallery, and it's so loved by everybody, so there will be a drawing for that on Sunday.
Okay, but you probably can get your tickets other times for it. Is that?
Can you get tickets? Yes.
For the raffle, for the or is that
just
for Sunday?
You just fill out a slip at Friday's concert, Saturday's concert, and Sunday's concert.
Okay.
You don't have to buy a ticket.
Nice, and lovely. All these gifts they keep pouring out. Diane, how long have you been with the festival?
Since 2007.
Okay.
One of the old board members and been on the board about the longest except for one other person.
Well, considering it's 35 years, that's only a third. You've only been with them for a third of their life.
Well, then so there you go.
You better stick around. They're not going to let you go anyway. Because
when people come to our concerts, they are not only buying a ticket to hear great music.
Yes.
A portion of our proceeds every year goes to support music education programs in the local schools, Ocean Beach District, and also in ACEL.
Nice.
And last year we were fortunate to be able to give what each music teacher in all five schools wanted for quite a bit of money, and they were thrilled. So
yes.
Our audiences get to participate.
That's a whole nother motivation for supporting the arts.
It sure is.
Is that the arts support the community, the children, and that's perhaps why we keep growing, because we're all working together. So,
we are.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Diane, for doing the work, and I know you have plenty of volunteers who work with you, but one always needs a leader. And so I appreciate working with you. And
Everybody on that board is a leader of something.
Yeah.
Whether it's Jazz and Oysters or Music in the Gardens fundraising, whatever it is.
That's great. So if you want more information, again, watermusicsociety.com. Check out the concerts. There's lots of information there. And then get your tickets and know that you are going to enjoy the festival as well as supporting music education. Whether or not they're your kids, whether or not you have kids, is irrelevant. Bottom line is, this is how we make a better society. This is how we make ourselves great. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
You bet.
Always a pleasure.
And I have some more music. This is from a group called Time and the Ball, and they are going to be playing at the Sou'Wester tomorrow evening. That's in Seaview. Do I have this right? Yes, yes, okay. Time and the Ball. Right here on Coast Community, right here on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world.
On either side of two panes of glass, in passing, our eyes meet. Greet sudden stranger, all anger cease. Between us, spaces breathe. I mean you no harm. I mean you no harm. I mean.
What she is singing. Thank you. Would that we could all be echoing that sentiment. And many, many, many people are. Unfortunately, too many people aren't. So, I have something entirely different again. And this one, you for sure will recognize. It's a bit topsy-turvy, but you'll recognize it anyway, because it is the Astor Street Opry Company with Shanghai in Astoria. Thank you. At least I got one of the unshy people. The other one is, I guess, too shy to sing along. That was a joke. because the other to whom I refer is Judith Nyland, not shy. Hi, Judith.
Hi. It's not my area to sing.
That's true. You weren't one of the performers there. The voice you did hear, though, is Patricia Von Vintage, who has been here before.
Yes.
Last time you were in, I believe you were Lascivious Viv.
Yes.
in Shanghai. You are also the costumer.
Yes.
So I'm always extremely impressed with that. But this time, she's going to tell you what she's doing, because what's coming up very soon, that would be October 4th and 5th, that's next week, Friday and Saturday, is Topsy-Turvy Shanghai. And what are you playing this time?
I am playing Max Crook.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
How evil can... Yeah, exactly. That's my line.
Yes.
Max. Oh, my God. Is it fun?
It's very fun.
I bet it is.
Lots of eyebrows.
Oh, wow. Well, Patricia has a very unusual face, and she can make these really strong expressions. I enjoy that as well. And Judith is here because I thought she had graduated or... is that what you did?
I did graduate. You did. That's a very good point.
She graduated a fairy godmother.
Yes.
Now she is the fairy godmother instead of the queen of Shanghai and Astoria. And so what does a fairy godmother do?
Well, they hit you with their wand when you're doing it wrong.
Oh, I thought that was the Catholic nuns.
No, well, oh, I was raised Catholic originally, so it does come from that. No, seriously, the company's gone through some transitions that were really hard, especially right after I left, and things didn't work out quite as we had hoped. And I'm trying to go back in and set up methods of making my systems more accessible, the way I did things, working together with other people in the group, especially Michael Desmond's come in and he does operations. And I'm just building manuals and procedures and helping with the job descriptions, all the stuff that goes into the background of a large nonprofit that you don't realize goes on until you're missing it.
Right.
Because it causes chaos. And it's been about a year and a half, and the group is doing fabulous. It's doing fabulous. They're back up on the boards, and they're running forward. We still need more people, so if anybody wants to get involved, still looking.
What kind of people do you need?
We need people who are willing to work behind the scenes as well as on stage. We're looking for more people who want to direct. We'd love to see some people come in who want to help in the house or help with the concessions or help with the souvenirs, help with the bookkeeping, help with the fundraising. It's all the stuff that keeps it going.
Do you have tech people already?
We have tech people, but most of the people who are on stage are also board members and they're the staff.
Oh.
So they're doing three roles.
Oh.
And it's just a matter of building it back up for people to know that there's room for you, too, if you want to come play.
Musicians
are really a good idea.
Yes.
Piano player.
Okay.
You can say that again.
Okay.
Piano player.
Okay. Well, and Astor Street Opera Company is community theater. And it's been going for how many years?
We just finished the 35th season of Shanghai, but it's 36 years old.
Yeah. Astor same Street as Opera Coast Company. Community Radio.
They came 36. At the same, within the same 12 months with each other.
And we know how that is. We know how hard transitions can be and how important it is that everybody get involved. So if somebody wants to get involved, who do they talk to? What should they do?
They pretty much, several ways they could get involved. You can go to the website and it's ASOCplay.com and send a message there. You can send a message to us through our Astor Street Opera Company Facebook page. You can send an email to info@ASOCplay.com. You can find me. I'm easy to find. I'm on Facebook. There's just always so much going on. We have like four things happening right now in transition. Everything from we're choosing the youth play for the winter. We have our annual fundraiser in November. We have auditions for Scrooge in Astoria on the 12th and 13th of October. All ages need people. Come try out. That's usually the best way to get involved is try out for a play. Get to know the people, see what is needed. Even if you come to an audition and say, I don't want to be on stage, but I'm interested in lights. I'm interested in stage
or
managing.
Or I'm interested in being part of community theater. How can I help?
What can I do?
And then you can
Where's
ask them, what do you do? What do you know? What do you
and
like?
We'll find a place for you.
Okay. So now, Scrooge in Astoria, the auditions are the 12th and 13th, 12th at noon, 13th at 6 p.m.,
It's noon and 6 p.m. on Saturday, I believe.
Oh, okay, good. Correct. I didn't have that.
They did twice,
Okay, and What's the age range for Scrooge?
We like to say 8 to 80.
Okay, so that's... Okay.
Really, we could, you know, it's there's parts, I wrote the play, and I did it deliberately to make it a sentimental holiday show that families could audition for together, because there's parts for moms and dads and
kids. That's a great idea.
And grandpa and grandma, and then that way we do have the younger kids, a group of them, and then this year, the director, Stephanie Osborne, mm-hmm. is bringing back my beloved Angels Choir, mm-hmm. which is all the little angels that sing all the little commercials and run around and drive the actors backstage crazy, mm-hmm. but they're very funny and they're very cute, and those can be almost all ages.
Mm-hmm. So, Judith mentioned families, and that's one of the things that I've always appreciated about Astor Street is opera company, is that they start with youngsters and bring them up. And again, the children as well, some may turn out to be better on stage, some better doing something else, but they learn in-house.
Right.
So now the idea of a whole family, what a great project.
Here's the other thing I forgot to tell you. So not only do we have youth theater coming up, we're starting the teen club again.
When
we lost beloved Bill Carr back last December, he did teen club, he did youth theater, he was the manager of our facility. He was a huge loss.
Oh, that was a
and
shock.
We're still, and that's part of why people are double and triple dutying. Right. He did about 5 different jobs, but a couple of people love the teen club, and they're going to bring it back. So there'll be announcements about that. It'll start in January and end with a little play or a little production or something.
So, ASOC, ASOC, Astor Street Opera Company, ASOCplay.com. Nice and simple now. You don't have to remember which word comes where. ASOCplay.com. Go there and get an overview. Am I right? I haven't looked since 2 days ago. They'll be able to see all sorts of things going on.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. Well, that sounds terrific. Now, Patricia, when did you get involved? So Judith's been involved since the beginning.
Yes.
When did you get involved?
About 4 years ago.
Were you new in town?
No, I was actually a bartender, and I had patrons come in and tell me that I should go and be
Miss Vivian.
Miss Vivian. And so for about 4 years, I was told that over and over.
That's
don't know
hilarious.
Why they think that they remind me of her. But
well, your body is a little different. But
so they did that, and I finally went. Ashley Mundell, who is Miss Macy a lot, she talked me into going, and they cast me as Vivian, and now I've been a villain ever since. So.
Wonderful. You do. Let me ask you, why? What keeps you there?
Well, I am from out of town, so I'm from Tacoma. I moved here a number of years ago, but I've never felt like I had that much of a family until I came to the Playhouse. And what I often say is, come play with me, because that's the way that I view it in the Playhouse. And I will say, we have a group and a board of about 12 people that I really consider family. And I think we all feel that way. So that's definitely where it stands, is that is my family.
Great. That's, I think, what do you think, Judith? She summed it up, right?
She summed it up. Yep. We're community. True
beautiful.
Community.
Beautiful.
That's why it lasts.
And in speaking about the idea of what your talents are, as I mentioned at the beginning, Patricia now is playing Crook, from Lascivious Viv to Crook, and she's also a customer. So there's a place for everybody to just sort of get in there and just hang out and see what works for you.
Absolutely.
So, great. Thanks so much. Don't forget Topsy Turvy Shanghai, which is hilarious, is happening October 4th and 5th. That's Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. And then the auditions for Scrooged in Astoria are the 12th and 13th. And then you'll find out about everything else that's happening at ASOC, ASOCplay.com. Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
And I'm going to put on a piece of music which I think many folks will recognize, at least around here. And this is the Freak Mountain Ramblers. We don't get a lot of them these days. And they, again, are going to be at the Brew Cup. And that is happening. I've got my schedule right here. Let's see. Well, I think that's tonight. I believe it's from 7 to 9 this evening.
Keep that motor running, Jocko. I won't be long only inside. You shut that motor off, my luck, I'll probably die. Yes, I love robbing banks. Tell the teller thanks. Oh, baby, for me. When we left Argentina, we had Alaska in our eyes. Head out for those clear, cold nights in white-capped mountain skies. Yes, I love being chauffeur. Break your arm, you know I will. Hey, I love poaching chicken. Hey, I love poaching chickens. A prime finger licking, some kind of good. Come on now, Colonel Sanders.
Remember that? Remember Robin Banks? The old days. I'm not even from the old, old days. I've only been here since 1974, but I remember very much enjoying these guys, and you can too. Lots more coming up right now in this show. I do want to let you know that tonight, in addition to Brew Cup happening forever, is... a fabulous production. I saw a little bit of it at the Performing Arts Center. It's the HMS Pinafore. It's the Cascadia Chamber Opera, as well as North Coast Symphonic Band backing them up. And they do a gorgeous job. That's at 7 o'clock tonight and 4 o'clock at the PAC on Sunday. And in between those two is my next guest is going to tell you what, my next guest is going to tell you what is happening after I stop messing up the technology here. And that would be Tessa Scheller.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, Tessa.
How fun is this? And you know, everything happens at the PAC, doesn't it?
Everything is happening.
Oh, my gosh, I love the PAC.
The Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, and very exciting weekend. And what's happening Saturday night, Tessa?
Saturday night is the first time ever Astoria is going to be graced with a performance by the Portland Lesbian Choir. This is 100 voices strong. They are clear. They are strong. They are profoundly good.
Now, they're not all 100 coming.
I'm hoping that a bunch will come, but you know, there's a lot of rooms empty, full tonight, right?
Yeah.
So, as many as can be will be there. We're going to start it promptly at 7, so be in your seats at 6:45 at the PAC.
Good
and,
point.
This is a great and wonderful choir and opportunity. Yeah. They're doing this as a benefit for the Lower Columbia Q Center.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is, so they reached out to us.
Really?
They usually only do a couple of shows in Portland, so this is their first time in Astoria.
Wow.
They get around the Northwest. They've opened the state legislature. They are wonderful. They sing out for justice and compassion, expression and connections, and visibility. These are women that are really singing their hearts out for us.
Yeah. Yeah. That I did not realize that they were doing as a benefit for
Lower Columbia Q Center.
This is folks from Portland coming here to benefit our community. But why is that? Because we are all community.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole point. We were standing out in the street for climate justice.
Right.
Here we are from the Q Center. Tell folks a little bit about the Q Center pretty quickly so we can...
Sure. The Q Center is a local nonprofit, and we're all volunteers, and we have our offices and our living room, if you will, at the Armory, 1636 Exchange. And we're open Friday nights. Come on down to see us tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we always have some people there to meet and greet, and we do support services for people in need. We have social services. We even do HIV testing. This is a full-service Q Center for this area.
And that would be for the predominantly plus allies,
LGBTQIA plus, and the alphabet keeps going.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
we're really all connected, and that's how they sing. They sing for healing, for rejoicing.
Yeah,
this is a wonderful expression.
I have heard them, but it's been years and years and years, so I'm very excited. I'll be there. So this is tomorrow evening. Okay, folks, if you didn't have your calendar out already, you better get it out, because... this is Saturday night, the 28th. It's one night only, 7 p.m. Do get there early because we expect a large crowd at the Performing Arts Center. And I think, can people get tickets through the Q Center?
They can get tickets at the door. I have tickets. Nobody's going to be turned away as long as there's space.
Okay, so be there. And remember, tonight and Sunday is HMS Pinafore, Gilbert Sullivan. So it's a full weekend at the Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin. You can't miss it. Beautiful building. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol. We've been doing this a long time
you
together.
You and I have. Thanks,
so
Tessa.
So much fun.
Okay. And I have some more music coming up. And this would be, they call themselves the Great American Trainwreck. Yowza. They're going to be at Seaside Brewing on Sunday. Stay tuned. Coast Community Radio. The Great American Train Wreck at the Seaside Brewing on Sunday. Also on Sunday, Fort George has the Desert Rye, the Desert End. It's too bad when you can't read your own handwriting, right? Desert Kind. That's it. I got it. And KMUN is going to be broadcasting at 7 p.m. a show for Rosh Hashanah. The Jewish New Year begins that evening, and it is Jewish storytelling, Make the World. That's Sunday. Saturday, don't forget, we have Troll happening, opening up the Brew Fest. I'll tell you more about what's happening there later. Right now, I have my last guest, my good friend, Ruth Lindemann. And Ruth came into my life, how many years is that? 9 take away 3 is 6. 26 years ago. That was for the Anne Frank Community Exhibit. I got a call, and Ruth asked me, she said she would like to help with the Anne Frank Community Exhibit. How could she help? And I didn't know her. I said, well, you tell me how you can help. And it turned out that Ruth is a Holocaust survivor. She was a member of the Speakers Bureau in Portland. And for 3 solid weeks, she arranged for speakers to come to our community here in Astoria, which reached out to over 4,000 children in the schools all over the county, plus across the river in Pacific County, and plenty of adults as well. 7,000 people came through there, and every day there were people speaking to them. For one of those weeks, Ruth and her aunt, Alice Kern, were the speakers themselves. And that was during Thanksgiving. And most people didn't want to disrupt their Thanksgiving time and come here. So Ruth and Alice came and took charge for the whole week of giving the talks. And I have been forever indebted. Now, that is not why she's one of my close friends. We're close friends because I think because we really like each other, would you say? Most
I'd
of
say
the time.
That, yes. And we agree on a lot of things.
Yes, we do. The reason Ruth is here today, however, is that she will be giving a talk and a reading at the Seaside Library, Seaside Public Library, tomorrow, that's Saturday the 28th, at 1 p.m. Ruth has published 2 books in the last 3 years. To Survive Is Not Enough in August of 2016, and They Will Not Be Forgotten in September of 2018, which amazed me because you had been talking about writing for years. And I thought, oh yeah. And then suddenly, the book was here. And the next thing I knew, the next book was here. And it has been a marvelous thing. So what are you going to do tomorrow?
I've been invited by the Seaside Friends of the Library to talk about when my books, which didn't happen suddenly. Books don't happen
no.
that way, Carol. You have to sit down and
write them. That's what I mean.
And
you were talking
them.
For a while and suddenly
And I
appeared.
Finally had time to do it. And it does take big chunks of time. So I finally have married a very nice man lately who has been taking care of almost everything that needs taking care of in a house, and I've been able to write.
Right on,
Romano.
And
in Seaside, and I've been talking for years to
yes,
students.
Exactly.
And in Seaside tomorrow, I will be talking a little bit about my books. They are pretty self-explanatory, and people are going to be able to read them and buy them. And I'll leave a couple copies at the library, and the bookstores will be able to get them. But my main theme will be to tell what it was like to be a little girl in fascist Austria. I'm one of the few people around still that can remember being there and can tell firsthand what it was like for people that were being persecuted to live under the Nazis. So I've been able to explain this on a, as I said, a personal level to thousands of children by now. And from their letters and from the things that they have said to me, they understand that the situation must have been terrible and dire. And I also try to explain to people when they ask questions, how did this all happen? We hear about the Holocaust and the things that finally did happen, but how did it all start? And it was so benign and so slow, and people were not aware of how dangerous it was going to be. And being a child at that age, I was never, well, we, those of us who still remember, and we're all in our 80s now, we were children at the time, we were never really children. We didn't have a childhood.
Hmm. That's a hard thing for a child to understand, and yet I think we see that today as well in many populations where children are being separated from their families or being forced to hide underground. Some of the experiences that children, no one should ever have to have. But
especially
children,
yeah. Yes. It's it's strange how history repeats itself, because now I'm reading about the horror of being taken away from your parents by people in uniform. I experienced that myself, and other children, of course, were... I was very lucky. I was with my mother most of the time. But there were so many people that were separated and never saw each other again. Families were torn apart. It's a very difficult thing for me to even talk about. But I feel it's very important that people hear a first-person revelations in speaking of this. Our family, for example, had no idea what was going to happen. They were assimilated, integrated into the society, and felt like everybody else. And suddenly, and that did, in Austria, it did happen suddenly. From one day to the next, it was like living on another planet. All the laws that were being enforced against a certain group of people. My emphasis to the children when I talk to them is, when one group of people in your society is not safe and doesn't have the protection of the law, pretty soon nobody's safe. And you need to think about that when someone says, oh, those people need to be taken away, or those people are bad, not because they're really bad, but because someone else tells you that they are not acceptable in society. It's very difficult to differentiate. And pretty soon, someone else is going to be pointed out, because there's no end to that. So that's part of my theme.
And is that what helps motivate you to go back to this difficult period and speak to others?
It's not easy,
Carol. It's not easy. I can't imagine. I can't even imagine.
I've been asked to talk to schools. Like when I come to Seaside, I lived here for many years, but nobody ever asked me to talk here. And lately there has been an interest in people who have experienced that era to come and tell about it. Well, most of them are gone now.
Yeah.
The people that were adults during that time would be in their 90s and 100, and very few of them were able to speak anymore. Those of us who were children who happened to remember were available, but we really haven't been asked to talk about it. But lately we have been.
So my understanding is that a law was passed in Oregon, and I think that it was, the idea was germinated by a high school student who was working with one of the Holocaust survivors who tragically died before he saw this come to fruition, but that now this will be mandated for the curriculum, the school curriculum, to be taught about the Holocaust. And I don't know whether that motivated or whether both things were sort of in the works, but I recently heard that there is a mandate for teaching, for education about indigenous people, the Indian nations that lived here, and how they were in many cases wiped out and or sort of thrown under the bus, basically. And so school children, perhaps, I hope, will be getting more of an education. Does that sound like a good idea?
I think that the emphasis lately on showing that targeting groups of people who are decent, law-abiding, productive people as being not acceptable, and that this was the way things were, and we don't want that to be the case now. I think children are not easily, but they are persuaded. When they hear propaganda, their minds are bent one way or the other, and we need to make sure that they hear the history so that it won't be repeated, and face up to the fact that their ancestors did some terrible things and that we don't want that to be the fact now.
Well, and unfortunately, it is the fact now. It's happening as we speak right now in many places. So I agree. Whatever we can do to bring to the light education about what some groups of people are doing to other groups of people here in the United States, in the entire world, and right here in our own communities, we see this, people targeting other people and sometimes and scapegoating in many ways in order sometimes to deflect blame or attention, to take power. And I really appreciate that you're still willing to speak and have been doing it for, well,
about 35 years or longer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There was no interest before that. And that era, right, in the 1993, when I started talking at Anne Frank exhibits, there was some interest was beginning. And we were beginning to talk about it. And there were survivors of concentration camps available during that time.
And you were able to see...
They did not like talking about it. And I don't like talking about it. And it's very difficult. Sometimes the teachers will ask me, like I was going to mention earlier, will ask me to come to speak at a school and several days in a row.
This is
not possible. I can talk about once a week or every 3 or 4 days. Yeah. It has a terrible emotional drain on a person.
Yeah.
I'm in my 80s now, and I'm exhausted after talking for an hour about a subject like this.
That's so
difficult. It drains me every time.
Well, one of the things that you did for this community is, in addition to you coming forth and also bringing Alice, as I mentioned, and actually speaking, you also opened up the entire Portland Speakers Bureau, Holocaust Speakers Bureau, to this community. And there were many people, I'm thinking of Les and Eva, for example, who had never spoken and never planned to speak. And this was the first time that Les ever spoke. And it was so powerful. And then they never stopped.
And I'm very proud of them, by the way.
Well, I'm very proud of them, but I'm even more proud of you because you're the one who got them to come here and all the people who did. And there are still people who remember. It's 26 years, and they still say to me, I remember, and then they describe in detail some of the stuff.
Yeah. I need to mention Alice.
Yes.
Her book is called Tapestry of Hope. And it is in the libraries, and it's still available. It's still in print. It tells about a 19-year-old girl who survived Auschwitz. And her story is so full of dire things, but it comes out with hope. And it's an upbeat story in spite of everything that happened to her. And please, if you're listening, write it down, Tapestry of Hope, and take a look at it.
And if your library doesn't have it, request it because they have interlibrary
loans.
They can get
it, yeah.
We are out of time. I just want to say
thank you
so much for coming in. Again, tomorrow at 1 p.m. at the Seaside Library, Ruth Lindemann, my guest, will be speaking. And She's an excellent speaker, as you can tell. She's also very accessible to questions. Just think about what you're asking as well. And if you have children, and bring them, but stay with them, of course. This is not a children's program. This is for everyone. And Ruth's books, To Survive Is Not Enough, and They Will Not Be Forgotten, are novels, historical novels, basically. And they, too, either are in the library or should be in the library, so you can make a request. Thanks so much for coming in, Ruth. And I do want to just, in the last minute, mention to you again tonight, the Coaster Theater is got the Savannah Sipping Society Friday and Saturday night, and I believe there's a Sunday matinee this weekend. The Hoffman is featuring short documentaries. Wings Over Willapa is going on all weekend through Sunday. It's an amazing festival. Birds, art, dance. Saturday at 5 p.m., there will be an incredible dance performance and a book reading. Peer Pressure Production, this is the last weekend. Folks, it's Friday and Saturday night at 7:15. You really should catch it. 10:15 commercial. This was the grand opening, and it's been a fantastic production. HMS Pinafore tonight and Sunday.